It's great to see the festive greetings, merry gentlemen and all that. Thursday night, it was funny because when Adelie did one, two, ready, sing, it reminded me of Children's House performance. That was, I was like, I feel like I'm in Children's House. We had that on Thursday night, our Christmas program with Children's House. This place was full and packed with a lot of parents with iPhones. And it was wonderful, just a great time celebrating Christmas and celebrating just the work of our teachers and Deanne over there and Adelie running the program. Really good time for everybody. And then yesterday in our fireside room, we had about 50 ladies doing Christmas brunch, festively decked out. That was wonderful. I was like, surely Jen Lewis won a prize. And Kelly was like, nope. And I was like, that must have been some party. So anyway, it was great. Festive outfits, some really meaningful sharing and devotion from Kirsten Ayulo. Big thanks to all the ladies who made that happen. So really good time. Hey, this season, this Christmas season, you know, after 7 years here at the church, this is my ninth Christmas season that I have been through here at the church. And there's only so many passages that you can preach during Christmas time. And after all this time, we started to talk about what could we do. And one of the things that we decided to do this Advent season is look at some of our more beloved carols that we sing and look at what the words are and how they relate to Scripture. And we've had such a wonderful time. I've had a great time of doing that. You guys have probably maybe had a good or not so good time listening to me sing a cappella or play my guitar. I don't have any musical instrument other than my voice today, although I'm not doing it because, anyway, we'll get to it in just a second. But we started with O Come All Ye Faithful, which was a Latin hymn, a beloved Catholic Latin hymn called the Portuguese hymn. The Portuguese loved that hymn. They sang it in Latin at their the embassy in London, and it got that name. And eventually it got translated into English, and we talked about that in our first week. Last week, we rediscovered, I think I did, the great Christmas song, Christmas carol, We Three Kings, which is not as much about the kings as it is about the gifts, which remind us that Jesus is King and God and sacrifice, and that we should raise our voices in hallelujah. And Uncle Henry wrote it for his nieces and nephews, which is just an awesome story for bachelor Uncle Henry, that God intends us to guide us to his perfect light. And today, our carol takes us to a small town in the south of France on the Rhone River. The first week I got to pretend I know Latin. Last week was English, and some of you guys, you pretend to know English every week. This week I get to pretend like I know how to pronounce French words. So Roquemaure, French is an interesting language anyway. All that to say, the Catholic Church in Roquemaure, France, the south of France, had just restored its stained glass and its organ. They had just done renovations and Christmas was coming. And so Father Petitjean asked one of his congregants, a local wine merchant and dabbling poet, Placide Capot, to write a Christmas poem to celebrate the occasion of the completion of these renovations for midnight mass. As Capot considered the request on a carriage ride to Paris, about a six-hour carriage ride to Paris, what happened next, there's some disagreement about. Some say Capot read the first two chapters of Luke. Others say he drew on his upbringing under the Jesuits and his Roman Catholic education. Others say he simply imagined himself at the birth of Jesus. However he did it, by the time he arrived in Paris, he had written a poem entitled Minuit Chrétien, which are the first two words of the poem, Midnight Christians, which is what we call today, O Holy Night. Through the connection of a mutual friend and opera singer, Emily Lori, Capot's poem ended up in the hands of the preeminent Parisian opera composer of the day, Adelphe Adam. He was asked to put it to music for the upcoming Christmas Eve service. 3 weeks later, in that small rural town of Roquemaure, France, at their midnight mass, opera singer Emily Lori sang Minuet Chrétien to the tune of Cantique de Noël, which was composed by Adelph Adam. Now, this is not the plot of a Hallmark Christmas movie. I can't confirm nor deny that anybody kissed at the end of this, but it certainly sounds like it, right? It's the beginnings of our beloved song, O Holy Night. The song was an immediate hit. It killed. And Emily Lori, a soprano, she came with the goods on that particular Christmas Eve. And it became beloved on the French countryside, but the song, like our O Come All Ye Faithful, encountered quite a bit of political issues and controversy in its day. Now, in your bulletin, we have included not only the English version that we read, verses 1 and 3. Verse 2 is kind of lost to history. I mean, not lost to history, but not many people know it, and so we are only singing verses 1 and 3. But on the right-hand page, we put the French, the original translation of the original French. And so we put that in there, and a couple things that we want to recognize about this is much of the original French wording of the carol has not made it into English. Minuet Chrétien, in its day, had some lyrics that were actually pretty controversial. So we've included the English version and the original French to show some of the difference. One of the reasons why this was not beloved among kind of the elite musical class of the day or among those French poets of the day is just how kind of stark and lecture-esque it begins. Look at the French translation. It says, midnight, Christians, it's the solemn hour when God-man descended to us to erase the stain of original sin and to end the wrath of his Father. Now, that might sound theologically robust, and it is, but in French, it does not have kind of the ring that the French, they love, right? So it did not actually, among the elite of the day, it was not French enough for them to love it. But among the people in rural countryside France, they loved it. It begins as if it is a lecture, but really, if you look at those first four lines, nothing of our current English translation, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining, that's not in there. You get the idea of O Holy Night at the very kind of the middle way through that on this night that gives it a savior, people kneel down, wait for your deliverance. Verse 2, which is not printed in your bulletin and has not been popularly sung in the English version. One of the reasons why it becomes controversial is it addresses the powerful of their day that are, quote, proud with their grandeur. I'll read a little bit of it. It says, the King of Kings was born in a humble manger, powerful and proud of your greatness. To your pride, it is from there that God preaches to you. Bow your heads before the Redeemer. So verse 1 calls upon those who are expecting deliverance to bow down on their knees before their deliverer. Verse 2 tells the proud to get on their knees before their deliverer. And then the third verse calls for people to rise up, which you can imagine in 1848, that's going to do some stuff. It goes on to say, and I love the verse 3 in French, the Redeemer has overcome every obstacle. The earth is free and heaven is open. He sees a brother where there was only a slave. Love unites those that iron had chained. Who will tell him of our gratitude? It is for all of us that he is born, that he suffers and dies. People rise up, sing of your deliverance. Noel, Noel, sing of the Redeemer. Noel, Noel, sing of the Redeemer. The word Christmas is the word Noel. All this to say, many elements of Minuet Chrétien did not sit well with the church authorities. Some of the concerns came from Capot, the poet. He himself was a socialist and during that time, there was kind of a rise of more conservative politics. And Capot was an avowed socialist. Actually, later in his life, Capot left the faith. And so that did not bode well for the hymn. The musical composer, Adam, worked primarily in secular operas, which was not on the list. It wasn't on the proverbial bingo card of the Catholic Church to have a secular French opera in Midnight Mass. Or the lyrics were just not French enough, or soon after it was written in 1847, but in 1848, the workers' revolution broke out in France. And the tune, believe it or not, was catching on in pubs and on the street. So this wasn't just being sung in Midnight Mass, this was being sung over a pint of beer at the pub down in Parisian alleys with discontented French workers. That in a song, so you have a song, you have a popular tune that champions people on their knees awaiting deliverance, like the French worker, words that call for the powerful and proud to be humbled, and the slave is our brother and people should rise up, written by a socialist, composed by a secular composer. Not so popular among the elites. And it was rarely included in Catholic hymnals. At the same time, the song was a banger in the countryside. People loved it. The more rural parts of France, particularly at Midnight Mass. Eventually, the French song was brought to Canada. French Canadians rise up. Okay? We have some good French Canadians here. We love it. But where it became a favorite at French Canadian Midnight Masses, this is where you cue Celine Dion, right? She comes in hot, and that's where you have your French Canadian minuet chrétien. There we go. Now, the English we sing today made its way into our world. What we sing today is inspired by the words, the poem. We still sing to the tune of Cantique de Noël, but the French song made its way into this English-speaking world through a man named John Sullivan Dwight in 1855. Dwight first discovered O Holy Night while researching songs to critique for his publication, Dwight's Journal of Music. Sounds like it's from the office. No relation. Dwight loved the music, but Dwight was also, and this is what did it for Dwight, he was an abolitionist. And Dwight loved the third verse where it says, he sees a brother where there was just a slave. Love unites those whom iron enchained. And this perfectly captured the views of abolishing slavery and the sentiment of the abolitionists of the North in 1855. So John Sullivan Dwight would translate the carol into English and pen the version that we sing today. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. That still has pop today, which is one of the reasons why O Holy Night, when FM, what is it called? Classical FM does its questionnaire over the years of what is the most favorite Christmas carol of all time, year after year. O Holy Night is at the top. Probably in here as well, you might think, what is your favorite Christmas carol? I would imagine that in this room, probably 50% of us would raise our hand for O Holy Night. This was translated and sung on the eve of the American Civil War. It's remained a beloved anthem of Christmas around the world. The first pop artist to hit the charts with O Holy Night. Anyone? Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis in 1958 hit number 3 overall on the top 100. It's the highest the song has ever gone. Johnny Mathis. Listen up, everybody. Get him on your Spotify list. All right? The next highest O Holy Night, Mariah Carey, 1994. That lady pays her bills with Christmas music. Right? All right. So Other notables that have made the charts with their version of O Holy Night. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, anybody? Yes, heavy metal, instrumental medley with O Come All Ye Faithful, high up there. You gotta love a little Trans-Siberian Orchestra, everybody. 1998, my personal favorite version of this, Celine Dion. Okay, you gotta listen to Celine Dion's version. There's on your Spotify, you can there's a playlist that has 50 versions of O Holy Night. Boom. That's hours. That's hours of the highest notes you can imagine. Okay, Josh Groban in 2002, and then most recently, and I think a growing favorite, Lauren Daigle in 2018. And she hit the charts with that. She's the last one to do this. So this song in English is titled O Holy Night. It's not a description. One of the questions that you have with these hymns or these carols, like with O Come All Ye Faithful, it kind of matches and maps right onto Luke chapter 2. Or, as we did, We Three Kings, it maps right onto Matthew chapter 2. O Holy Night is a little different. It doesn't quite map onto any particular passage of Scripture. It doesn't, like, note a lot of the details in the Christmas story. It doesn't talk about necessarily the little town of Bethlehem. It doesn't talk about away in a manger necessarily. And so one of the things about this particular song, this carol, is it's not a description of the events of the biblical story as much as it is about the idea of Christmas. The idea that God would descend into our world. A few lines stand out about this idea from the verse. I think as you go through, one of the things that for me as I went through this the two verses this week, just circling phrases that stand out. Obviously, at the end, the second verse, where it talks about chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. His law is love, his gospel is peace. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. But really, I mean, the phrase that stands out is a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And the image of the world languishing in sin and error, I think, yeah, that was written in the 1800s. That was true before that. And today it feels just as significant that our world pines languishing in sin and error. I like the French. Look at the French translation of that line, which is the fifth one down. In English, a thrill of hope, the world, weary world rejoices, but in French it says the entire world thrills with hope. The entire world thrills with hope at the idea. At the idea that God would come near to a weary world. There's something about this hymn that captures our imagination and helps us to sing as well. And the idea that the weary world would experience a thrill of hope. And this led me to wonder, like, what exactly, what passage does this map onto in the Christmas story? If it is true that Capot was reading the Gospel of Luke when he wrote this, or somehow this worked out, what does it sound like? And the only thing that I could find as I was reading through the Gospel of Luke this week, what sounds like O Holy Night is the song that Zacharias sings over his baby child, John the Baptist. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 1. I just want to look at this really really quickly. And it stands out as just the most parallel to O Holy Night and this song that is a prophecy which is sung over John the Baptist that Elisa read for us this morning. And it says in Luke 1:67, it says, his father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied. And few lines that stand out here. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people The idea that God would come and visit. Sometimes it's hard to find God in this world, but the idea that God would come and visit and redeem his people and raise up salvation for us. It says in verse 71 that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. Verse 72, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Zechariah's song over his infant son John in verse 76, he says, you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And then in verse 77, this is when it sounds like Zechariah just waxes poetic. He says, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. If there's any passage from the birth narrative of Jesus, it's John with joy standing over his infant son that he never thought he would ever see, prophesying and singing a song that is given to him by the Holy Spirit that talks about a sunrise coming from on high and God visiting us, the tender mercy of our God. The sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and shadow, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. I think every once in a while we get struck a little bit by the weariness of our world. Sometimes we try to keep up with our world, and we try to match its intensity, and that goes well for some time. Like you try to keep up, you try to stay ahead, you try to do your best. Your energy, stress produces energy. Sometimes stress overcomes and stress saps us. That the energy of the world we can't keep up with, and we find ourselves weary. It doesn't take long if you live in this world to find the world weary. A few things just to note. Right now, as you sit here, you as a human being have more access to any information than any other human being on the face of the planet has had before, ever, right in your pocket. We can know about things we never knew about before. We can know about interest rates. We can know about corruption. We can know about politics in our country and internationally. We can know about violence in our communities and around the world. We can know about celebrities. We can even know about TikTok trends. As I typed into Google this morning, what are the most significant trends of the last month? It spat out an AI-generated list. The weary world might not rejoice. There's a civil war in the Congo that's being fueled by Rwanda. Cambodia and Thailand have resumed their hostilities in their disputed border regions. The EU has frozen Russian assets. Russia has been accused of election interference in Germany, and the war in Ukraine continues. We now hear regularly about super consequential things that are totally nebulous and we have no control over. Things like consumer confidence, the oil market, the labor market, healthcare spending. Turns out I can have an AI personal assistant. It was under the heading, The Rise of Agentic AI. I don't want to hear about the rise of any AI. Has anybody watched Terminator? Come on, people. All right. This last month, you could learn on TikTok that the fashion aesthetic of, quote, quiet luxury is trending for Gen Z members. Hashtag quarter zip. Anybody? Okay. Every day on YouTube, over 80 years of content is uploaded. Every day, 80 years of content, video content is uploaded on YouTube. That's just YouTube. long lay the world in sin and error pining, comes to mind. If you live in this world, it is not long before you experience it as wearisome. O Holy Night is just as meaningful today, if not more, than the 100 or so years ago that it was written. And it's my privilege and responsibility and job today, as it is every week, but to remind us, God has chosen to come near to a world that he knows is weary. In sin and error, in the midst of all the noise and bluster, a soul can feel its worth as we look at the coming of Jesus in the manner in which God chose. As Zechariah sings over his son, John, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. As I tell one final story about O Holy Night, there's a few things about O Holy Night. Little known facts about O Holy Night. In 1906, a man named Reginald Fessenden, he used to work for Thomas Edison, he was his chief chemist, he had invented a new type of generator, and he wanted to take it for a spin on Christmas Eve. And what this generator did was it took the airwaves on which Morse code was sent, and it made it possible for a voice to come over those airwaves. Reginald Fessenden was the inventor of radio. And on Christmas Eve of 1906, as he was in the town of Brant Rock, Massachusetts, he broadcast out into the Atlantic to fishing boats. Very first radio broadcast. And he wondered on this Christmas Eve what he might say, what he might do, what he might play. And he read Luke chapter 2. There were in the fields that night some shepherds. And he read about the birth of Jesus. And then he took up his violin, and the first song ever played over radio airwaves was O Holy Night. And so we have an opportunity to stand in a long line of people who recognize that we live in a weary world, that we know that God has visited us, and that we have something that the world needs because it might not even know it's weary. But we know it, and we've embraced Jesus as our Savior. Christ is our Lord. And we're going to try to hit the high notes. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to celebrate the coming of your Son. We recognize the significance of just what a wonderful song this is and the power of a great song to carry us through our days and life. And we thank you for the people who have come before us that have composed and written and sung this song. We thank you that we stand in that tradition today. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.